I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. We're talking to former juvenile offender Mario Chavez. He's now a youth mentor for Pioneers for Peace. Thanks for sticking with us. And let me just ask you, you were talking about a concert that you guys are putting on. Tell me a little bit about the concert, but then I want to know, really, what are you doing as an organization with the kids?
Well, the peace rally this Saturday coming up, May 31st, actually, it's going to be held where an old school used to be, and it's just a field. And we spoke with other community leaders and people of the administrative Detroit City Hall, and we're going to have a peace rally there, a gathering, and a concert, so that the whole neighborhood could come together, because there have been quite a few shootings over there in that area.
What do you do on the day-to-day with the young folks you work with at Pioneers for Peace?
Well, depending on right now, it's summertime, so we're going to go into our like a summer camp type thing that we do with them. And, you know, to keep them busy during the summer and to keep them engaged in positive aspects of their life.
And how old are the kids we're talking about?
Oh, they're ranging, they're boys and girls, ranging from as young as 11 to 17 years old.
This may sound naive, but do you think it works? Do you think what you're doing makes a difference?
Actually, yeah, I'd have to say so. Most of the time, a child just needs some attention, a little bit of guidance, you know, and just needs to know that they're not alone in this world, you know, with all these things going on around them, despite the environment that they're living in. Just to know that somebody's there and somebody's willing to listen and willing to, you know, say, well, wait, you know, whatever situation you may be in, you always have a choice, you know.
Mario, thank you.
Okay.
Mario Chavez is a youth mentor for Pioneers for Peace, and he spoke with us from the studios of WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The smartphone war is heating up. It's not official yet, but rumors have it that the latest incarnation of the iPhone will hit stores sometime this June. Not to be outdone, Sprint says it's going to release its answer to the iPhone. There are also reports that BlackBerry is going to make a phone with a touchscreen. To sort through gadgets and talk about an innovative way to get kids involved in science, we have our tech contributor, Mario Armstrong. Hey, Mario.
Hey, Farai. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I have been resisting the iPhone bandwagon. I'm going to ride my janky little phone into the ground until the components fall out and hit the pavement.
Your little old clamshell.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, maybe once that one's dead, I'll take a look at these other options. So let's start going through them. You know, the new iPhone right now is a rumor or a reality?
Yeah. It's a rumor. What they're saying is that the new iPhone will launch somewhere around June 9th in tandem with the Worldwide Developers Conference. And so the reason why this rumor is kind of starting to surface more is because at the same time, AT&T has announced that they are completing what is called their 3G rollout. And that basically makes it for faster speeds than the current edge network that they have. So if they can roll out this 3G network in time with this rumored iPhone launch date, that means the new iPhone would have faster speeds and maybe more people would be wanting that particular device.
So what about the idea that the current iPhone, which then would be the old iPhone, is going to drop in price?
Right. You hope. You know, I mean, Apple has shown over the years with their, if you look at their iPod models and how they kind of held some features back for newer versions of the iPod. And then as newer versions came out, newer features would come out. Some of the prices didn't really shift too much. I mean, they would shift a little bit, but not too much. And when you're talking about a $400 phone, any shift downward would be a nice welcome shift. But, you know, it remains to be seen whether or not people are actually going to want a device that would be used on an old data network. The main limitation to Apple's iPhone has been the AT&T, or the lack thereof, AT&T's 3G network. If that main limitation can be removed, you might see more and more people wanting to investigate or try out or experiment with the iPhone.
Let's talk about this new phone that Sprint is going to release called the Instinct, and that also the BlackBerry makers are going to release a touchscreen phone. You know,
that's right.
How much do these things cost, and you know, what's the good or bad of them?
Yeah, I mean, these are the category that people are arguing about is whether or not these phones fall into what is called a smartphone category. And that category usually means you can do internet, instant messaging, email, all types of web applications.
Dental floss for you.
Yeah, dental floss, pocket protector for others. But the BlackBerry, these devices, I should say, is probably anywhere between $300 and $600. Some are even more expensive than that, but that's usually the range. With the one exception, there's a Centro created by Palm, which is a handheld device that I recommend quite often, really, because it's only $99, and it's a great smartphone. But to your point, BlackBerry is coming out with something that they haven't named yet. The code name so far, the rumored name, is Thunder. The one that they have released recently from BlackBerry actually looks really, really good. The BlackBerry Bold, it looks like an iPhone. And then Samsung is looking at releasing their Instinct. HTC has a touchscreen version called the Touch. And I think what at the end of the day, Farai, I think all of these phones have recognized, or all of these phone manufacturers recognize, Apple has changed the game with touchscreen technology, and they want to participate in it as well.
Oh, boy. So too many options. Now, let's move on to something that is a little different. It's a contest. American students have fallen behind students from other countries when it comes to learning about science and technology. I know that's an issue close to your heart. So yes. Discovery Communications is sponsoring a new national science competition for middle schoolers. So what is this Young Scientist Challenge?
Yeah, it's the Discovery and 3M Young Scientist Challenge, your grades 5th through 8th grade, and they are basically looking for America's top young scientists and also teachers, and they are wanting to nurture more interest for kids at an earlier age in science. So what somebody has to do essentially for this variety is to create a 1 to 2 minute video about one of Discovery Education's topics, and they get enrolled into this competition, and there's several prizes, there are savings bonds, there are educational opportunities, and a trip to Washington, D.C. to meet other scientists.
So if they have to make videos, not everybody has access to equipment. I mean, is this something where youth groups and schools can help the students put things together?
That's a great, great question, because that was one of my concerns, right? The barrier. I mean, I know they think, or the internet makes it easier, but, you know, you need to think about what your school can offer, what the library may have, or what the Boys and Girls Club in your neighborhood may have as well. You can also look at your cell phone. If you have cell phones or friends that have cell phones, you can capture video on that cell phone. They are not interested for this contest in the quality of the production more than they are in you being able to explain science concepts. They list 5 different concepts on their website that you have to read up on and then use the 1 to 2 minutes to show your science aptitude to communicate and present these concepts.
Now, you actually do some work with charter schools in the Baltimore area. And what is it that you're doing?
So some of the work is really about getting more kids and more schools, really, to understand the tools that they can integrate into education. It's amazing when we travel around to find that, you know, opportunities like this exist, but many of the schools in the communities that we like to serve aren't aware of these opportunities. And so one of the things that I would like to just kind of put my neck out there and say is I'm in the Maryland, D.C. area. So if there are any parents that are tuning in the Maryland, D.C. area, and you think you have a young scientist on your hands but don't have the means to capture video, go to my website. Find a way to contact me through my website. You can send me an email, and I'll set up a date to come out there and shoot the video myself. I just feel it's so important, Farai, that we get our kids. You know, I don't want to hear anything about barriers to challenges to these types of opportunities that are being afforded to our kids.
Well, Mario, what I'm going to have you do is email me your promise and the link to your information, and we'll put it up on our website, nprnewsandnotes.org, and our blog, nprnewsandviews.org. So, you know, that's a great offer. Shoot, you got free technical assistance and videography right there. Quickly, you know, why is it important for students in America, including African Americans, to step up their game with math and science?
Because it's on. I mean, the war is on, Farai. You look at China, you look at India, these kids are graduating in science and technology at a phenomenal rate. They're pursuing it faster. It's in their DNA, and their innovation is starting to permeate itself over here. And they're also bringing that prowess and that education back to their countries. We are no longer going to be as competitive as we used to if our kids don't start recognizing that they can be as creative and innovative as everyone else.
All right. Mario, thanks again.
Thank you, Farai.
That was our regular tech contributor, Mario Armstrong, and he was at the WYPR studios in Baltimore.